today on Vox Talks, a new research programme on structural transformation kicks off this week. Welcome to Vox Talks from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. We're in the middle of a global economic slowdown. Middle and low-income countries may have to rethink their long-term growth strategies. But how much do we know about how economies develop away from subsistence agriculture? And what are the most effective ways to encourage this transformation? These questions are at the heart of a five-year programme of academic research funded by DFID, the Department for International Development, and led by the CEPR. It's called STEG, and that stands for Structural Transformation and Economic Growth. The programme kicks off on the 4th and 5th of June with a two-day online workshop to introduce its research agenda. You shouldn't miss it if you're interested in economic development, because it has contributions from, among other people, the former chief economist of the World Bank and the current chief economist of the IMF. I'll give you details about how to sign up at the end. But ahead of this workshop, I've been joined by Doug Gollin of the University of Oxford. Hello, Doug.
Hi, Tim.
Joe Kaboski of Notre Dame.
Hi, Tim.
They're two of the leaders of STEG, and they're both CEPR fellows. And also Rachel Glenister, the chief economist at DFID. Rachel, hello.
Hello.
Now, welcome all of you to Vox Talks. Joe, first of all to you, when we talk about structural transformation, what structures are we talking about and what transformation are we thinking of?
Traditionally, the word structural transformation has referred in a narrow sense to the movement of the economy across the broad sectors of agriculture, industry, and services. So that's a transformation in the sense of the way the economies are structured as countries grow. But more generally, this entails a lot of other structural changes, such as movements from a great deal of subsistence, you mentioned subsistence agriculture, but subsistence activities and home production to marketization of activities, increase in the scale of productive units from handicrafts to large-scale industry, changing composition of industries from low-skill to high-skill intensive industries, changes from rural to urban, and even changes in the family, like increases in female labor supply. So it's an all-encompassing transformation.
I assume that the ST in STEG, the structural transformation, drives the EG, the economic growth. Is it as simple as that?
No, it's really not that simple at all. Basically, in the standard framework of thinking about economic growth, structural transformation is a bit on the side. Growth is driven by two things, the accumulation of factors, for example, the increases in the quantity and quality of the labor force or the accumulation of capital, and then an improvement in the way these factors or these resources are utilized, which we call productivity. And the productivity growth stems from improvement in labor markets, capital markets or finance, markets for inputs and outputs, improvement in government, and above all this, an upgrading of technology. Now, there's a sense, though, that the movement out of subsistence agriculture is crucial to all of this. When you look at the data, people are less productive in agriculture, and poor countries have a lot of people engaged in subsistence agriculture. And so just from a basic accounting standpoint, getting people to industrialize or moving people from agriculture to industry would increase output. There's also a sense that, and some evidence that investment and capital accumulation is heavily tied toward industrialization. And finally, that the adoption and even the development of new technologies is part of this industrialization and transformation process. And so structural transformation in that sense can be a key. But typically, we think of structural transformation as being something that accompanies economic growth. But sometimes when you see countries not transforming in the ways we expect, it can reflect distortions or frictions. And once those are removed, they can promote economic growth.
Doug, is the purpose of STEG to disseminate what we already know and get it adopted as policy, or are you trying to find out new things here?
I think there's very much an interest in asking new questions and bringing new tools, new data, and finding new answers, as well as then trying to disseminate the knowledge that comes from that. As Joe said, I think the literature has been fairly silent over the past couple of decades on what goes on in the process of structural transformation and how it relates to growth. What we have are new tools coming out of modern macroeconomics. We have new data that comes from some of the really detailed micro evidence that's been collected over the past few years, some of it experimental evidence, some of it coming out of surveys increasing data availability on low-income economies, which really transforms the way in which we're able to ask questions at a macro scale. And in that sense, I think we're hoping that STEG will really bring a new body of evidence and a new set of research. We're also very much excited about being able to pull in a new generation of researchers who have, many of them, acquired the skills of fieldwork and work in developing countries, but who bring the theoretical models and the experience of working at macro scale that has been an important feature of the literature in the last few years. And putting together the macro side of research with the development, I think, is going to open new doors. We're really excited about that.
Rachel, why is the Department for International Development backing STEG?
DFID has, for a long time, made large investments in supporting countries to undertake economic development and structural change because we see it as critical to reducing poverty around the world. As countries grow and make that structural transformation, they have more funding for investments in health and education, and individuals themselves make more money and can invest in their own resources. So economic development is critical to our strategy. We do that through investments in things like the CDC, but we also want to invest in the global public good of knowledge because a lot of what drives structural change is policy. So good policy can really speed up structural change and the reductions in poverty that we're looking for as a result. By investing in STEG, we're investing in generating the analysis and data that countries can use to drive good policy change. So that's what we'd like to see from this research program.
Joe, how is STEG going to fund research?
Well, through a series of competitive calls. As Doug mentioned, we're trying to grow young researchers and a broad group of researchers. So we have competitive calls, both large grants and small grants, and small grants with some of these funding targeted toward young scholars and scholars from developing countries.
Doug, how diverse is this research going to be? Is there a single theory of change here, or are there other pathways to growth?
I think that's a very interesting question. The literature and certainly the policy dialogue has for a long time assumed, I think, a single trajectory of growth in which economies move directly from agriculture to low-skill, low-wage manufacturing, often for export, and from there transition into some kind of a post-manufacturing service-oriented economy. We don't really know if there's anything inevitable about that process, or whether that's just describing a particular historical experience that certainly has been the case for many of today's countries that have gone through the development process. But there's really very little in economic theory that says that that should be a single process that should hold across time and across space. I think that's a question at the heart of what we're looking to get at in STEG. Do we need to imagine different models of development and different trajectories of structural transformation? I think there's very much space for us to examine that single trajectory in detail, to ask maybe not so much whether it applies, but where it applies, for which countries and in which contexts. Some countries are going to develop quite differently because they have lots of primary products, mining, and other kind of mineral exports. So that's surely going to give them a different trajectory of development. And I think in general, there's going to turn out to be a diverse set of paths of transformation. One of the things I hope we'll be able to do in STEG is to shed light on what those different pathways look like and where they might apply.
So Rachel, it sounds like it's not enough just for STEG to diagnose the problems in developing economies here. You really want to bring that through to policy initiatives, policy suggestions?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, part of that will be done by the researchers themselves, but other people can draw on their research and data to draw policy conclusions too. So I always find that that the researchers themselves have a lot of really important insights about how their research can be applied practically on the ground. They're also generating data analysis, which lots of other people can use, including developing country governments, DFID economic teams on the ground, and many others.
I'm going to ask Doug and Joe about what sort of research you would like to see STEG doing. Joe, you go first.
You know, one of the starting points, we talked about subsistence agriculture, understanding agricultural productivity gaps, understanding broader sectoral gaps and productivity increases and how these are related. but then understanding how they interact with the labor market and home production. How does structural transformation affect the economy at the level of households? And thinking about the firms, thinking about the frictions that firms face, what policies might alleviate these frictions, how important is industrial policy and targeting technology spillovers, and then having an eye also on the political economy issues, public investment, and what's the role of government. It's really a broad-based research agenda that we envision.
Doug, what do you think?
I think all the things that Joe described are at the heart of what we want to do. I think another area that where there's really been some exciting research done is looking at the importance of spatial frictions within countries. We've tended to have trade economists who talked about trade between countries, and which you assume that the frictions that matter are tariffs and transport costs between countries. But actually, I think for a lot of developing countries, a lot of low-income countries, there are huge and important spatial frictions for moving goods and people around inside the countries. And those frictions tend to prevent specialization. Rural communities, for instance, have very little connection in some cases to urban markets. And so they end up producing a lot of their own goods and having very little export market, so to speak, to the urban areas for the agricultural goods that are produced. So I think there's a lot of interest in unbundling what those frictions are within countries that prevent specialization, prevent the emergence of domestic industry and domestic services, urban services. So I think integrating some of this new trade literature that looks at frictions within countries is an exciting area that will complement what we're doing in other parts of the STEG research program.
Also, we have the problem that since STEG was planned, while it's been in the works, the global economy has taken a nosedive, and it has especially affected developing economies. Is this going to make the work of structural transformation and the work of STEG in particular more important, more difficult?
I think there's two aspects of that. One is the substance of structural transformation and how structural transformation takes place. And I think the jury is still out somewhat on the extent to which the pandemic and the restrictions that have come into place with the pandemic are going to pose real and long-term problems in terms of international trade movements within countries, the long-term impacts on the economies. At a very practical level for us, trying to organize a new research program with colleagues and partner institutions scattered across the world, it creates some real challenges. We had hoped to bring everybody together face-to-face for our inception workshop. There are particular challenges in trying to bring together a group of researchers who don't necessarily know each other and haven't met each other, and to get people on the same page in a time when face-to-face interaction is difficult.
The ultimate payoff, of course, is, as Rachel mentioned, is promoting economic growth and reducing global poverty. And in order for that to happen, research has to be disseminated and research has to be implemented into policy. And so I think one of the challenges of the coronavirus now is just in developing these relationships between researchers and policymakers. So that's a challenge, but there's a huge upside to this research agenda.
If there is an upside as well to having to hold your workshop virtually, it does mean that more people can get access to it. And I'm going to give them the details in a moment. But first of all, I want to say, Joe, Doug, and Rachel, thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure, Tim.
Thank you. Good to join you.
Yep. Thank you, Tim.
A reminder, as we've been saying, the workshop takes place in the afternoon at UK time, afternoon on the 4th and the 5th of June, so it's morning if you're in the US. You can find out more and sign up for it at steg.cepr.org. Joe and Doug, after the workshop, you're going to come back to Vox Talks. We can dig into your research agenda in more detail. We haven't had time to go over it today.
Look forward to it.
Yeah, plan on it.
Okay, we'll take you up on your promise. But first of all, this has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. We bring you the most innovative economic research every week, so subscribe to Vox Talks and you'll never miss an episode. And remember, you can find 10 years of Vox Talks at voxeu.org/vox-talks.